I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We've been reading a lot of children's books in the Smith household these days. Since having our first baby, we've amassed quite a wonderful library of baby books, thanks to the generosity of friends and loved ones and St. Cross. And just as a quick side note, I do want to say that I am deeply, deeply grateful to the clergy, to the staff, and to the community here at St. Cross for allowing me to have the time to be with my newborn son and my wife these past few months. It has been a very, very special time, an exhausting time, but a very, very special time, and I can't thank you all enough. In any case, one of our go-to baby books we read with baby Bruce on a regular basis, especially when he's being fussy, is a book called The Pout Pout Fish. And it's a story about a fish who is convinced that he is stuck in a permanent pout. Anytime one of his ocean friends comes and tries to draw him back into his friend group, he sulks off and says, "I'm a pout-pout fish with a pout-pout face, and I spread the dreary wearies all over the place. Blub, blub, blub." And the book continues like this until, without trying to give too much away, a mysterious fish comes along and is able to remind the pout-pout fish who he really is. You see, it turns out, he's not really a pout-pout fish. He's a kiss-kiss fish with a kiss-kiss face for spreading cheery-cheeries all over the place. And with this revelation, he returns to the relationship and community of his ocean friends. Our readings this morning have a lot to do with how Jesus comes to restore us to who we really are, a people made for relationship and community with God and one another. Now, traditionally, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the lectionary always provides a reading or two with imagery of the Good Shepherd. And not only do we get some of that Good Shepherd imagery in the gospel lesson for today, but we're also provided with all sorts of other images. We hear about sheep. Jesus refers to himself as the gate. There's a gatekeeper, there's thieves, bandits, strangers, and even wolves. And at one point, the author of the lesson writes, "Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." So, if your head is spinning from all the metaphors flying about, don't be discouraged. You're in good company. Even Jesus' original audience didn't really know how to make sense of all of this. But in this jumble of metaphors, there are two important keys to making sense of everything. First is the context. Jesus' words in this morning's lesson are the conclusion of a structural pattern used throughout John's gospel, where Jesus performs a miracle, then there's some dialogue as onlookers try to figure out what the miracle means. And then finally, as a sort of conclusion, Jesus interprets the miracle. And in this case, in the chapter just before our lesson today, Jesus restored the sight of a man born blind. Then the religious leaders get upset and they call Jesus a sinner as they try to wrestle with making sense of the miracle that just happened. And finally, Jesus interprets what the miracle means by offering the parable we hear today. So, might you ask, what does our lesson today tell us about the miraculous healing of the man born blind? Well, the blind man, who before being healed, begged outside of the city and was ostracized from the community, is restored to a sense of safety and belonging. Jesus is the way by which the man returns to the sheepfold. Jesus saves him from a life of isolation and marginalization. He restores the man to a sense of security and community. And the second important key to this gospel is the verse where Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Life, Zoe in Greek, is a fundamental concept that pops up all around John's gospel. We hear it in the very first chapter. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. So from the very beginning of the gospel, and echoed in our lesson today, we hear that Jesus is the way by which we are set free to participate in what one scholar calls the big work of life. And by that, he means it's a life that moves us towards how we relate to God, to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to the people on the other side of the fence. God is always working to move us in the direction of community and relationship. Jesus is the good shepherd, the gate, the way by which we are invited into abundant life, a life that recognizes God's presence and the love and generosity we experience in and through each other. And this abundant life is a vision that Jesus has for all. And yet, it's also a vision that doesn't always make sense in the eyes of the world. In the passage from Acts 2, the author writes, "All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need." Now, selling all of your possessions definitely doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. In fact, probably makes a whole lot of us feel rather uncomfortable just even thinking about that. But yet, the early followers of Christ, aware of the needs of their community, seem to understand that as social creatures, we depend on each other. They acted out of radical love and participated in a life of mutual interdependence. God is always and repeatedly working to restore us to relationship. Like the fish who is restored to his true identity as a kiss-kiss fish, Jesus works to restore us to our true selves. He is the way by which we understand that we are made for God and for one another. He is the way that allows us to see that love and generosity are the very core of who we are. He is the way by which we are invited into the abundant life that God intends for all. Amen.